listening on CFMU FM 93.3.
The piano's mostly made out of wood. Except for the big cast iron frame, which gives the piano the support it needs to stay in tune properly.
We've got everything on the keyboard. We can be everybody, whereas other instruments have only one voice, usually.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Dave Potter, and I'm the owner proprietor of Old World Piano Service, and we recondition, refinish, rebuild, tune, and generally service all makes and models of pianos. Well, I started originally in my teens teaching basic piano at a small music store, and there was a technician there that needed an apprentice, and around the age of 17, I apprenticed with him for a few years. To be able to play is an asset. There were over 250 piano manufacturers in the early 1900s, and as time's gone by, I think the last went into receivership probably around 1984. Pianos are primarily made out of wood. But an important component of the piano is a large cast iron frame that gives the piano strength, because it's under a lot of tension. There's a lot of strings in the piano, and to keep the wood from flying apart, an iron frame is used to support that. And the iron frame weighs usually 200 to 300 pounds, and that's what adds so much weight to it. There are other components in the piano. The strings, of course, which I mentioned, which are steel, and the tuning pins or the tuning pegs, which are also steel. These things all contribute some weight. And then the third, probably most important component is what's called the action. And that comprises a fair bit of weight as well. And it's the all of the moving parts that contribute to creating the sound of the piano by striking the strings, and that includes the keys and what are called the hammers and the dampers. The soundboard is located at the back of the piano. You would have to, if it's an upright, you'd have to pull the piano away from the wall to really see it. It's really only a thin piece of wood. It's about a quarter of an inch thick, and it is the voice of the piano. It amplifies the sounds of the strings so that you can hear them properly. You don't want a soundboard that has a lot of cracks in it. If it's exposed to a dry environment, the soundboard can crack. So you don't put your piano right in front of a fireplace or something. That can cause problems with the sound. The piano mainly goes out of tune because it's affected by changes in temperature and humidity mainly. So if you keep it in your home, for instance, and your home is not air conditioned in the summer or very well heated in the winter, the piano is going to experience fluctuation or real big changes in the humidity or the moisture in the air. And the moisture in the air swells up the wooden components, which stretches the strings up in the summertime. And then in the wintertime, when all the wood drops the moisture, it shrinks, and again the strings relax, and it's this up and down motion of the strings that cause it to go out of tune. It's really best if you can tune your piano once a year. That will keep the piano in good condition. If the piano has a twangy or sort of echoey type of sound, then probably the piano needs tuning. If the piano's been exposed to extreme high humidity where the strings have rusted badly and they break during the course of a tuning, that's a pretty good indication that the instrument needs new strings. But unlike a guitar, where the strings are being handled by hands all the time, the guitar strings need to be changed quite frequently because of all of the salt and acids in the skin on your hands causes the guitar strings to deteriorate. Piano strings don't have that problem. Piano can last a long time. My piano is over 100 years old and it's still going, and with good care it can continue to go on. Number one, don't keep your piano in a place where it's going to see high and low temperatures. So don't keep it in a garage or something like that. And try to maintain a stable environment in your home, so make sure your home doesn't get too dry or too moist. Tune your piano once a year, and if you do have it tuned, most tuners will usually clean the piano out if you ask them. If you're concerned about dust and dirt, they will usually take care of that for you.
And what are the skills needed to become a piano tuner or technician?
Well, a good sense of working with wood, for sure. You do have to have a reasonable sense of pitch or what sounds like, so some musical sense is an asset. And I would say probably mostly is lots of patience. This is just the sound of the piano strings ringing freely. If you pluck them, yeah, the bass strings are thicker, and they produce a lower tone. And as you go higher, the strings become shorter. You can see that very high-end strings are only a couple of inches long. And as we said before, the piano is mostly made out of wood. Except for the big cast iron frame, which gives the piano the support it needs to stay in tune properly. So when a piano is tuned,
are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Hi, my name is Bob Wiseman, and I'm a pianist. I do music for television and film. I produce records for other musicians. I write my own compositions and record them and arrange them. I don't recall when I first became interested in music. I come from a musical family. I have three older brothers, and my mother played piano, and my brothers all played. I'm the youngest, and they were all playing ever since I can remember. I remember all of them having instruments and me playing kitchen utensils because they had the instruments. Two of them were at the piano, my mother and one of my brothers. One of them was on the clarinet, one was on the cello. And I would play pot lids. And so ever since I can remember, I played. As time went on, the piano became the focus of what I played specifically. And the brother closest to me in age, who's 5 years older than me, was always more sophisticated than me. But everybody told me continually as I was growing up that he wasn't as good as I was when he was my age. So there was this wonderful game race going on when I was a kid to try and catch up with Ron, and I did. I'm self-taught, despite my parents sending me to a teacher. I hated the teacher. She scared me. I pleaded with them to let me leave, and eventually they consented because they saw what kind of shock I was in. She was scary. She would threaten to put the ashes of her cigarette on my fingers. She was horrible. Also, I was a kid, and I wanted to play music on the radio. Classical music that's ordinarily taught to children didn't resonate with me because it was too sophisticated. My brother instead was playing boogie woogies or whatever, and he would play games with me where he would get me to play the left part so that he could play the right part. The right part was, of course, the area where there was all the action. The left part was all just repetitions, but it's hard to coordinate both. So I was happy to just be close to him and helping out while he would do things that were much more sophisticated. But it was great because I was listening all the time to what he was doing and trying to figure out how to do it and listening to a lot of the same music. It was in retrospect, fantastic, because by the time I became an adult and met musicians who only played classical music or only could read and couldn't improvise, it was a bewildering experience how frequently they would ask me to help them learn to improvise and make music up. And it was very surprising that they weren't connected with the instrument in that way. I think some people just have it, and I think some people just don't have it. And the don't have it's try as hard as they can. They might be able to get it, but many of those who don't have it will go through their life not having it. And a lot of them make peace with that, and they know they don't have it, and they can't figure it out. I used to try and show them. I used to believe anyone can do it, and I still want to live life that way, but I know from experience that lots of people who don't have it, whether it's playing the piano or trying to speak other languages or cooking, are just never going to get it. It's almost like a caste system in India or something. You know, I don't want to subscribe to that, but metaphorically it's like, yeah, there's like almost different classes of ability. You know, my parents were ambivalent about my playing. That was great. I mean, my motivation was my pleasure, and I think my peers. It was part of my identity that made me special in the crowd. And I always was like the best piano player. There'd be other kids I'd hear about who I heard were real good. And I'd see them, and I usually could size them up, and they usually weren't as good as people thought. I could tell that I could do things. And I enjoyed that. I mean, I had three brothers. It was all pretty competitive, and that, worked its way into my life, for better or for worse. And
I remember practicing the piano and my parents turning the TV up louder and louder. At least they didn't tell me, they never went, stop playing. But I thought it was insulting. But I also was glad in a way that they were in their own world and I could just do my thing. I've never been so comfortable in my life to play the piano while other people can hear me as I was as a boy. I approach the piano in kind of a primitive way. There's the scales and there's ordinary music that's harmonic and beautiful. But I try to treat the piano largely topographically. And that interests me a lot, to play it like a caveman, to understand a lot about music, but to not just try to play blues or jazz or rock or swing. I think classical music is closer to that primitive thing, even though it's so sophisticated, especially Bach. Because Bach approaches the piano, partly because he was one of the first people to come to it, I suspect. He approaches it with a very open mind about both hands. The bulk of piano repertoire has to do with the left hand being essentially a bass player, like my brother had me doing when we were kids. And the right hand is coloring, being melodic. But in Bach, you know, there's no classism in the hands with Bach. They're both doing a lot of musical things, absurdly complicated musical things. And so when you dissect Bach, especially if you're a pianist, you realize he's never doing things that are shortcuts for the hands. There's lots of other music that you learn by Chopin or whoever, and you realize that, you know, or Thelonious Monk, a lot of it is written. Thelonious Monk's music is very topographic. A lot of it has to do with gestures that are very easy for the hand to do, and that's partly why they're dissonant. It's because it has to do with just playing the black notes or things like that. And that's fine, that's cool. But Bach's always taking very unusual acrobatic directions to arrive at something. And you can only conclude he's doing it for the sake of the sound of the music. And it's incredible.
Teach at McMaster University, and I'm the artist in residence. There was a piano in my house, and my mother used to play, and she tells me that I tried to push her off the piano stool one day because I wanted to play myself since I was four. A long time. Yeah, my mother told me, because it's too long ago for me to remember. She was a pianist, and she taught piano, and she was a singer, and she taught me to sing when I was little too. She was always there for me, but she thought it would be a better idea to have other teachers for me, because, you know, if your own family teach you everything, maybe it's not such a good idea. So I went to, first of all, a gentleman across the road who used to go upstairs on Sunday mornings and shave and do all his ablutions while I played to him. And then he came downstairs and said, "That was very nice, Valerie." And then I went to another gentleman in Leeds, which was in Yorkshire, near where I lived, at the College of Music in Leeds. And he was an elderly man, and he helped me learn all kinds of things. And then I think we moved, and we went to Wales for a little while, and I had more lessons. I think I've had quite a few teachers in my youth, but the main ones I had later were at the Royal Academy of Music. His name was Eric Grant. I was with him for about 5 or 6 years. And then I was in Paris, and I had lessons from a French pianist, which were wonderful. And since then, I've been my own teacher. Well, to tell you the truth, it wasn't really practice. It was pleasure. I mean, I used to go to the piano for my own fun. It never was work for me. It is now. But when I was little, it was a fun thing. It was something that I went to enjoy myself. So it wasn't really a matter of practice, although of course it was practice for me because I was constantly playing. I think the ones that got the best out of me were, and this is good for children, the ones that encouraged, the ones that make you feel you haven't done well, don't get the best out of you. You have to be truthful, but at the same time you can be truthful with positive outlook. So for me it was best when I had, for example, a lady in Shropshire who would sit and listen to me play and be musical at the side of me. I could feel her going with me and everything. And she would just point out that the tempo was not correct, perhaps a little slow or a little fast. And then she would tell me this little passage here could be more even. And with her, I just had fun. But at the same time, she was teaching me. But it was never a hard discipline of any kind. Now, I don't know, different natures of children might require that, I don't know. But for me, that was the best. Eric Grant was also excellent in that respect because he would pace the room like a caged tiger when I played. He would just keep walking around and banging on the piano every now and then and humming along. And Fevrier, my French man, I was about 19 when I went to him. He was my last teacher. And he was quite different. He would sit at the side of me and be very nitty-gritty about everything, every detail. And I hadn't really had a teacher like that before, but it was extremely good for me. It made me do all kinds of disciplinary things to polish up my technique. And he was very inspiring too, musically. So for a child, I think it's awfully important to keep their interest and enthusiasm going. My mother taught piano, and she said that she felt she'd achieved all she wanted to achieve once she'd got the child's love of music that would last it throughout their adult life. I don't know, I always felt a little bit different, but I think if you're in music, you do feel a bit different, because most people are in sports or intellectual subjects at school. Mathematics, which I was terrible at, and physics and things like that. So with music you feel a little bit of a, not a freak, but you feel slightly different. And I don't know that that's altogether a nice feeling, to tell you the truth.
But they accepted you?
Oh yes, yes, yes.
And maybe they admired you, I think?
Yeah, in a way, yes, I think so. But I don't know whether I like that either. Yeah. First thing I would say is don't stop playing, enjoy it, and enjoy it for the music, but don't expect to be a world-class concert pianist, because the competition is so enormous nowadays. There's so many pianists, not all of them play well. I mean, they have tremendous techniques now, but the actual musical presentations are often missed, I think. That's what I find anyway. And that's what they have to find. They have to find the real music behind the notes. And if they're ambitious, then maybe they'll get on in the musical world performing. But if they don't, then they should find some other way of having an outlet for it.
How do you prepare for a big concert? Yes. Do you get nervous?
Oh, yes, very nervous. Some people are nervous, but they enjoy it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not really been like that. I enjoyed it much more when I was a child. Mm-hmm. Now, it's something I have to do somehow, because it's in me, but I feel I'm too nervous to enjoy myself. Probably part of growing older.
What is the worst thing that ever happened to you on stage?
The worst thing? Let me think. Well, I've never fallen over or anything like that. I guess once in England I forgot in the middle of a Schumann piano concerto. That was the worst. Because you feel so terrible if you lose your memory. And especially with an orchestra, because if you can't pick it up, and at this particular point I couldn't pick it up, because they were just doing little pizzicato bits every now and then. And so we stopped, and the conductor shouted out the last letter to the orchestra. And they started at a tutti, so I knew where it was. So I had to do it all again, but it was okay the next time. But that was the worst. I love recording because I don't have the pressure. Some people find it the opposite. They find an audience wonderful and recording a pressure. But for me, it's vice versa. I like the feeling that I can just play and do everything I want without the worry of not doing it right the first time. And I try to play the recordings as much as I can without retakes, because I think if you chop up little bits of pieces to make them right, the whole piece suffers. And you can tell somehow that it's just not right through from beginning to end. I like playing romantic music. Chopin, of course. Liszt. Rachmaninoff, except that he's so full of notes. You have to have a mind like a big computer, you know, all the notes are in there because it's so many of them, and the stretches are hard too. And I love Mozart and of course Bach, but I don't play Bach in public because he frightens me to death.
How come?
It's so complicated, and I don't trust myself. I love Bach, but I'd rather hear someone else play it. Chopin, I think most pianists feel akin to. Somehow he has perfect pianistic and musical sense for everyone. Some people don't play him well. Liszt is... he allows you to express a lot. And I think probably Mozart is the most pure for expression and the most difficult in a way. Although the notes are fairly easy technically, the actual presenting of the music has to be so perfect, otherwise it's better not to play him. We've got everything on the keyboard, we can be everybody, whereas other instruments have only one voice usually. Well, we have more to think about, yes, but at the same time we're lucky because we have all the harmonies and all the rhythms and everything is ours. The only thing is we can't pretend we're a legato string instrument, can't do cantabile, and but we don't have to rely on an accompanist, so that's a blessing. We could play any opera or any orchestral score because we have all the notes there. I suppose that's probably the best part.
Myself in paper, I'm gonna daub myself with glue, stick some stamps on the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.
I am a homeschooler!
I don't like school! Radio Free School, Wednesdays at noon on CFMU.